Bears, essentially, in my opinion, live for two things, sex and food. And that's what drives them. And if they have a chance to come in and grab a meal from a can, they're going to do it. Especially one that they can tip over, the lid flies open, it dumps the stuff on the ground, they grab what they want and they run. We get very few bears that stay in and work the garbage over. They paw through it, grab something, and go. And it's a kind of a lessens the risk for them to be approached while they're busy working on food by another bear. You know, you've got that situation that we didn't have a can to start with. The city looked at replacing individual cans, and it's pretty expensive. We also looked at from the standpoint that not one shoe is going to fit everything here in town, and maybe that's the way we should look at it, where instead of just going with the individual cans, the Canmore experiment in British Columbia, where they centralized the garbage, was they had the individual cans and still had problems with it because they had a percentage of the human population that wouldn't take care of their garbage. And you can do enforcement, there's no question about it, and you can go after those people, but when you give a bear an opportunity of 3,500 cans versus, say, maybe 40 cans, one, it makes it easier to get to the bears and respond to a call to haze the bear because they're pretty smart. They dance around but through the neighborhoods, and by the time you get the call and go after the bear, he's moved. And so you end up chasing him across Sitka through the night at the night. So there was that concern. The bigger concern was the fact, could we make the 300-gallon cans bear-resistant? And that's what the test was out there to do that. Indian River, it has the highest frequency, consistently the highest frequency of bears. It's not so much the resident neighborhood there. It's the geographical location of the river. But it brings those bears into that neighborhood, and there's about 100 cans there. So whenever you get a call, it's the same situation. Trying to locate a bear within one of those 100 cans that is running around and checking is really tough to go after in a short period of time. The bears are smart. As soon as you show up, they seem to sense that you're after them and they leave.
Are you confident in the hazing techniques that you guys use? I mean, have you hazed a bear and then never seen it again? Or is garbage just too powerful and attractant?
Hazing techniques have been around for a long time, and the technology really hasn't changed too much in the last 40 years. What has changed just recently is the development of the animal taser, and we have tried it over the last 2 years at the dump in Yakutat with very habituated bears, and then last season at Port Armstrong and Little Port Walter, where you have a fish hatchery, and so you have a natural incentive of the bears to come in there. And you also have crews that are very dedicated to keeping bears out of the work area, and so they're used to working with bears in close quarters, and yet you still don't want to have bears walking up behind you while you're doing your job. So we have tried the animal taser. We had very good luck with it. It's still, a lot of it's in a research development type thing, but it's been the only device we found so far that we've been able to hit a sow, and she's left her cubs. You remember a couple years ago when we had the sow with four here, that sow was hazed more than 50 times that we're aware of with rubber bullets, and four of those eventually killed her. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. Darting is a real hazard too, because of the darts. Even though they're not high speed, they can do damage. And then if you lose one in a residential neighborhood, it's going to be a couple of days before the drug is no good. So, you know, you put all of that together, and you put almost 9,000 people and 10 bears running around. The potential for bad things to happen is good. So that's kind of the point that we've taken on that is, as long as there's a bear on Baranoff Island, it's going to be probably around Sitka. It's just a perfect location for them. It's good aspect for denning. It's got den sites close by. It's got herring that come in the spring that add supplement to the, you know, the foods that they're looking for vegetation like skunk cabbage. It's got the right mix. And so it's up to us to try to figure out how we can live here and minimize the risk from them. And it's not so much, you know, I hear this from, well, we're putting more emphasis on saving the bears than protecting children, and that's ridiculous. That's not true whatsoever. What we're doing, if you look at some of the behavior that people do towards the bear, endangering themselves and endangering others, it's no different than them going out there, leaving food available through negligence or sometimes feeding them carcasses of fish so they can take pictures. They bring a bear in and habituate it, get it used to coming in for food, and your neighbor who's doing everything right is trying to keep their stuff clean. And he may be the one that the bear runs into in the night.